T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Jed Hoyer.
We have hit a lot of homers. 5 guys with 15 or more homers, and I think that we have driven the ball. I think we've used the opposite field this year as well. But, you know, our situational hitting is still a source of frustration, and this is sort of a broken record. Like, you know, what year is this? It seems like every year but 16, we struggle with guys in scoring position, and it doesn't feel like we give our best at-bats in those situations. And so that's just something we have to keep working at, keep getting better at. If I had a dollar for every hour I've spent, you know, thinking about our situational hitting, you know, I could help out the city a great deal. You know, it's just a frustrating thing about our team. We haven't excelled in those situations, and those are the situations that matter. We've got to get better at that. We've got to keep working, and we will. That's really the gist of it, is that there's no magic formula to get better at hitting with guys on the corner.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We've got the midday midway at 10:40. We've got Jonah Carey at 11. And then we are going to be guest hosting the Lawrence Holmes Show as well today. So we're going to do Friday Fung at noon. And I know this is short notice, but we trust you because you're good at this and you have proven able to rise to the occasion for something like this. And I don't think we've done this one before, but because this is our last Friday show before Independence Day,
it's
we
true.
Thought this would be an opportunity to have a little Friday Fung with sharing your stories of fails of the 4th of July, fails of July, whatever it may be, somehow having to do with Independence Day. We want your horror
wasn't
stories.
It was the Rocky and Bullwinkle show that always had the dual titles for every cartoon, right? It was Fails of July or Independence Day,
mm-hmm.
or whatever other title that you can think of as
narrated
we go
by Edward Everett Horton.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm just glad I had a reference to a cartoon from back in the day. I mean, that was.
Oh, that's not even back in the day. That's
Rocky Bullwinkle?
That's before my day.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time.
That's way, way long ago. So we've got all that coming your way. Surprises as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text, you can do that, or a sex. It's Friday after all, to 67011. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. That man is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. If you haven't yet, you got to do this. You got to download the radio.com app.
I believe that we will win. I mean, you and I are both excited about the game, the match this afternoon, France and USA, the
yeah,
women's soccer team.
I've become, based on what has happened of late, I've become a much bigger fan of their work than I thought
well,
I would be.
How have you not learned the chant? The I believe that we will win. You got to learn the chant.
I don't. I'm still getting used to the skull chant for the Vikings and trying to figure that one out.
Still?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how
you'll
that
catch up.
But it's only one word.
Download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We have a video feed. That's why there's this bright light that shines on us. Bright light. It's Brian Gertsch that directs that at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. Producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz. I was thinking yesterday we need a new statistic.
What for?
Okay. Loving that Cub game. That's a vintage wind blowing out.
Yep.
Middle of summer Cubs game. It's a packed house. There's all sorts of things going on. It's all the feels and everything.
It's a 2016 game, is what it felt like. You know, you're behind. You need something, and then everybody just starts turning things around. Fourth and fifth innings, 3 and 4 runs.
But this is the stat we need. When Kimbrel comes out and he gets the outs.
Yeah.
And then Ronald Acuña Jr. has one of the terrific at-bats that you will ever see. Completely in charge. That young man stood in that box and stared down some stuff and fouled off some stuff and was on some stuff until he got a pitch he was looking for. It was a tremendous at bat from an immensely talented young player.
He's very, very good.
He's really good.
He's very good.
And then you start thinking, it's setting up as huge comeback win to salvage a series split. It's very much like that Mets game with the Javier Baez three-run homer.
Except this is against a good team that's in turmoil.
But either way.
Well, I'm just saying.
Either way, we're going to get to them in a second, too. Either way, it's one of these turnarounds that changes the story. And then you think he might blow the save. They might lose. He might blow the save. And the statistic would be some kind of leverage index, not for what a win or loss would do to the team's fortunes, because it's one of 162. We know that. It's all media-driven. It's all how we feel about it. Mm-hmm. A leverage index for narrative. For
Creambo.
When Creambo came in, and there was a guy at the game with a Crimble jersey.
That man is my hero. I don't know if he got that. The day going to the ballpark, knowing that everybody's sort of mispronouncing the name, do you think he asked for a
Crimble? No, I think he went online.
He asked for a Crimble.
I think he went online, and that's how he typed it in.
That's amazing.
That's exactly what I think happened.
That's how my wife got me an Olin Kreutz jersey for my birthday.
Was it? Right. So do you find misspellings on sale, or can you? I mean, I know some people have gone in and done the Griswold jersey or whatever. You know, you do the custom thing, but can you find misspellings on sale?
My wife just typed it in wrong.
That's amazing.
Kreutz.
So Kreutz, because it would be, the actual German pronunciation would be Kreutz, even though he pronounces it Kreutz.
I have a Kreutz jersey.
Right, you have a Kreutz. That's great. So, I did see that. But think about it. Think about what how the headlines would change, how we'd feel about the Cubs, down to five games over 500 instead of seven, and just out of first place.
You lose your lead to the Brewers. Right.
Instead, they're in first place. It's Kimbrel Notch's save, and they're singing Go Cubs Go.
Creambo.
And after the fact, it's like, yeesh, that's and Creambo came through.
So we need to acronym Creambo, then we need to find some sort of. So the idea is that the metric is the swing in narrative from Kimbrel as savior to Cubs problems not solved or destroyed.
Right. I mean, see all that money spent, all the commitment, and it's the same. Just exactly what we would have been saying and what would have been written.
Free agent miss again. You know, something like that. More money spent in the wrong places. Oh God, it would have been a nightmare.
It would have been awful.
An absolute.
It saved us. Anthony Rizzo's quick thinking and quick enough feet. And by the way, texters think he's more like 250, 255.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah,
it's a hefty guy.
But you just think about how our day would be different, how everybody would be feeling different going into this weekend if, in fact, Kimbrel had blown that save.
I mean, I would like to think that enough would realize that, it's a blown
how
save.
How long have you been around here?
And Kimbrel, but a year and 2 months, plus the 5 years before that. So I'm just saying, I would hope enough would realize, well, maybe next time out there he gets it. Or you could use the, you know, if you were a savvy headline writer, you could use Rust still not off Kimbrel, you know, Cubs blow, that
Creambo
kind of thing. You could just.
Or Creambo.
That guy, too. I thought the Anthony Rizzo play to end that game was awesome. Because really, you think about what that was, if you want to do the narrative construction of things. That's Anthony Rizzo, Mr. Steady, that guy that's been there from the get-go. He's been through the bad times. He's been through good times. He's won a World Series. And then they bring in this dude. Pay him $9 million to save a handful of games. What's he going to have, 15 saves, 20 saves by the end of the season, something like that? And he forgets to cover first on a hot shot to first base. And Rizzo just jogs over and makes the out the way he does. He's just there to backstop everything, always. Anthony Rizzo.
This segment brought to you by Comcast Business. Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses big and small go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary. Because beyond a simple transaction, there's making a customer for life. Comcast Business Beyond Fast. Take your business beyond at ComcastBusiness.com. And it's really a baseball thing more than anything else because of the number of games. You know, every football game is Armageddon. Everyone. Every single football game is absolute Armageddon. Baseball isn't supposed to be that way. And we know mathematically, objectively, it's not. Yet, some games, like that salvaging comeback win over the Mets, like yesterday's huge comeback win plus Craig Kimbrel, they feel a little bit larger. And I would love to have an easy I don't know if it's a three-word term that can be acronymed.
Uh-huh.
We got to get Tim Beckman in on this. We need to call our acronym expert and just blow in a call to Tim Beckman. It's even come up.
It's an acronym.
But there's or PJ Fleck. There's got to be something that allows us to have a level a leverage index for how we talk about things. Like, this would have been this, but it ended up being this.
The H is for the how.
I was just
that's
say.
The people.
Can we have Fleck in here? Because at least he's a harmless idiot acronym maker, and Beckman's going to have some like workplace violations as soon as he gets in here. He's going to be yelling and screaming and throwing Mitch in a closet or something. I don't want that to happen to Mitch. He doesn't need that. I think with Kimbrel yesterday, you saw everything anyone said about Craig Kimbrel coming in as a free agent. You saw the dynamite stuff
velocity's
like we talked
great.
About with Matthew Trueblood.
Walk rates up.
That first pitch is 98, and I'm thinking, oh, somebody's taking his meds. That is an incredible fastball. And then the breaking ball gets a little bit sloppy. Credit to, you got a pitch called against Brian McCann. That curveball is outside, but a little bit of framing help gets a strike call. Fascinating how that works. And Brian McCann punches out and gets all kinds of baseball police angry. Then Kimbrel loses the strike zone for a full at bat. You've got to have a conversation with Tommy Hotovy, who he's known for all of, 90 hours probably total? Barely knows the guy. Those are all the things that this version, that the expanded walks per nine version of Craig Kimbrel has looked like. That's the danger he's got, and that's the stuff he has to get himself out of that very same danger.
I was watching on television on NBC Sports Chicago when Kimbrel came in, when the call to the pen was made,
right,
and everybody knew what was coming. However, the description by Pat Hughes when they stayed with the game instead of going to commercial break was really one of those terrific little radio moments.
Some solid radio work from Cubs play-by-play guy Pat Hughes. We've got it for you after the update. Bernstein and McKnight.
We're going to delay going to the break. I want you to hear when Craig Kimbrel does come through the door out in left center field. I want you to hear the reaction. The door is now being opened. Kimbrel has left the mound in the bullpen, and here he comes. Let's listen. Standing ovation from 39,823. Kimbrel jogging to the mound.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good ovation. It's understanding the moment. Did you hear...
You hear a little bit of Slash in the back there with the soul over Sweet Child of Mine and that classic clean Slash sound quality.
Did you by any chance hear a boo or two after the walk to Dansby Swanson?
I don't remember hearing one. I'm not going to deny that that some were heard.
I thought that I did. I'm not sure if the faithful were flipping that quickly or not.
How sports is that?
To me, it felt like there was a
crowd. You suck, Creambo.
We were promised a save. Creambo is undefeated. Like For a moment, I thought maybe we were going to see something quite ugly there, and it wasn't just going to be the media narrative stat that got flipped over, but maybe a couple of Cubs fans losing their mind as well.
I don't know if he's going to be a high wire act, because generally you want it to be more a Wade Davis thing. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And there was a lot of that, and it was great when Wade Davis for a while was the circle of trust, and he was coming in and just destroying people. But this town and this fandom knows high wire act closers.
Oh, hell yeah.
The city that's lived through Mitch Williams and Carlos Marmol.
Oh.
There's been a lot of that. Randy Myers for a time.
Yeah.
I could go on with Rick Aguilera and Mel Rojas and some of the others that notched a lot of saves while also occasionally wanting you to commit ritual suicide. But this is the hope, the goal, is that there's no drama.
I would bet on drama. And I'll tell you why. I think, in talking with Jed Hoyer yesterday, the Cubs general manager, and in hearing from Joe before the game about his plan to use Kimbrel, I think they're planning on working him into a clean ninth for a number of different reasons. One is just basically finishing spring training. Where he's at in terms of pitching back-to-back days, all that kind of stuff. You got to figure out what his conditioning's like in order to go out there and work like this. But also, walks per nine went up quite a bit for Craig Kimbrel last year.
So I think you got to figure out, I think you got to use him in the most appropriate spaces there in order to find out whether or not those walks per nine, whether or not that control issue is something that he's dealing with now or dealt with last season. Because the stuff looks to me to be there. The velocity looks to be there. The curveball looks pretty good. At least it did last season, and that's what the reports were like from anybody, to David Ross to Alex Cohen, when we talked to him, the voice of the AAA Cubs, to find out exactly what Kimbrel looked like. I think, though, working clean as often as you can helps keep confidence, helps keep wins, and it helps keep your bullpen safe for the next little bit with Kimbrel working in as the closer.
We have some nominations for my stat here regarding some leverage index as far as the outside narrative goes.
Yeah.
And the 630 says momentum index for swinging storyline or miss, M-I-S-S.
Okay.
Which is okay. The 515 says it's right there for you guys. It's Wint. Worry-inspired narrative transference.
That's pretty good.
Those are both really worry-inspired narrative transference. That's pretty solid. I don't know if either one quite flows, but I appreciate
the
motivation.
Yeah, we're getting
there. This is good. This has been a good meeting.
This has been good. That stat doesn't get inspired unless Anthony Rizzo makes the play covering for his guy Craig Kimbrel. Rizzo was on the mic with David Schuster after the game on the station. Some interesting sound. It begins, this is the whole post-game ceremony, right? Pat Hughes has brought in Kimbrel in the ninth.
Do you want to do this after a break?
We do this after the break.
I think that's what we should do, because I think this deserves to breathe a little bit, because I'm told it's really good.
Okay, we'll get to that. We also have a couple of White Sox pieces of news, some roster construction things going on for the Southsiders. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670, The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anthony Rizzo is the guest of David Schuster of The Score.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah, we do have Anthony Rizzo down here on the field, and you had that beautiful swan dive at first base to end the game. Why don't you talk about that play initially?
It's Craig's first game back. I'm playing way deep. When the ball's hit like that and pitchers, I kind of was expecting kind of get there fast if he wasn't covering. First day back on the job, so.
Look, they had their moment. They had their little embrace.
Yeah, they did.
And it's clear that Kimbrel's like, thanks, dude.
Cream bowl.
Yeah, we're going to get it right.
Yeah, that's the best thing about Craig Kimbrel being on the team is that Ozzie gave us cream bowl.
It's fantastic.
That would be like a rainbow ice cream cream bowl?
Cream bowl. No, I was thinking that'd be like an ice cream on a stick sort of thing. More like an ice cream truck kind of treat.
All right.
You know, maybe the one with the gumball in the middle. You know, did you have the one, the ice cream treat, it was the mitt with the gumball in the middle of the mitt that was painted up to look like a baseball? Did you have that when the ice cream truck rolled by back in the day?
No.
Oh, this thing was the best. It was like the thumb was, but it reminded me of a Milwaukee Brewers logo, but it wasn't quite that. The thumb was blue, and I want to say there was red lacing around the edges of the ice cream treat, and then the gumball was in the middle of
it. See, here's what I learned when the Good Humor truck would come around, and it would. The Good Humor truck would pull right into our cul-de-sac up in North Trail in Deerfield, right there on West Summit Court, come rolling right in. And over time, I learned that to do simple better when it came to ice cream. The more gimmickry, the more it's something in the moment, like it's Superman or it's Spider-Man or something, or it's SpongeBob, I learned with my kids. Those were never as good as the classics.
No, they're always terrifying, too.
My rule was always go with either a regular, you know, orange push-up, or there was a fabulous sort of sourish grape popsicle that would stain your face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, before they changed the formulation, the good old-fashioned red, white, and blue bomb pop.
Oh, yeah, the bomb pop, yeah.
That was...
What do you mean before they changed? They're still great.
Yeah, they changed it. The texture's different. It's not as icy. There's a little more creaminess to it. I don't know what they did.
Huh.
They put, like, polyethylene glycol in it or something.
I hope so.
They,
I love those.
They also cut ridges in it, so it still fills out, like bazooka gum.
Yes.
So it still fills out the wrapper, but they don't have to make it as big. They can make more.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Fewer.
I didn't realize that was the case.
It used to be, I would undo a bomb pop and say, there's no possible way I'm going to finish this, because it looked like the biggest thing of all time. But
Unfortunate.
My rule is do simple better. What's unfortunate?
Yeah, well, just because I didn't realize that I'd been getting screwed on the bomb pop sort of thing. When I was a kid, they still had the ridges.
They never had the ridges.
I thought that I was still making it. They've got the lemonade ones now, too. It's like three flavors of different lemonade.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
It was called the Bubble Play, but I don't remember it. You see, it's a baseball mitt.
I see it.
With a gum ball in the middle. And I never understood what the hell gum was doing in the ice cream in the first place. But I love it.
So that's the Creambo?
I don't remember it being red, though. I really don't. I thought it was a different color, and maybe there was another brand or something like that. But the Good Humor was the Bubble Play.
Yep, and even with my kids, I was told that SpongeBob looks great. You're going to take one bite and then you're going to throw it away because I'm a SpongeBob. I know you think you do, but trust me on this one.
I was always horrified because you take the wrapper off because in my day it was Ninja Turtles. You know, the van would come up and it'd be the Ninja Turtles, and you were trying to get a Leonardo one, but it was always Raphael. It was always Raphael. And the face would just be melted. It didn't look anything like.
Please kill me.
It was a turtle that got too mutated. Right. It was just a.
Teenager over-mutated,
too much ooze on that.
Melting turtles.
Ice cream pop. Oh, boy, is
I
that terrifying.
I don't want to exist. Please destroy me.
Now it's like the elephant man got made into an ice pop or something.
I'm a human being. What was it that we had when we were doing our Earth Day thing? That was Panchos Paletas.
Oh, those. That was...
If you live on the anywhere near the south side and you can get your hands on a Panchos Lime or Lima Paleta.
Do it. Hold up the truck.
Do it. And do whatever you got to do to find more of them, because that's really special stuff. But regarding Rizzo and Kimbrel, they shared their little moment.
Yeah.
They had it out. But when asked about it publicly, what can he say? What can he say? Like, oh, yeah, I didn't expect him to cover, you know. He doesn't want to have to do that.
But don't you
Somebody could have gotten hurt. He could have gotten stepped on.
Well, that's true, too. I did worry about that when he dove. Like, how pyrrhic of a victory would it be if Kimbrel comes in, gets the save, Rizzo dives, and, like, an arm falls off.
Breaks
or something
a rib
like that.
Or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just awful. I thought about that because, you know, I grew up rooting for the Cubs and understand what horror is in baseball. I think, though, if you're asking what he could have said, there are very few ball players that can navigate comments like that the way Rizzo has the latitude to do so. He could have said, guy's got to cover first, he'll get there, and everybody would be cool with it because he's Anthony Rizzo. He can joke like that and has before. He just has that purchase, I think, on a microphone. He's able to do it.
There's no reason for him to hold back. Everybody knows what happened, right? Ball don't lie.
Kimbrel knows what happened.
Everybody knows, and everything ends up being fine. The other moment of the game, did you catch this?
Hmm.
When Freddie Freeman, who, by the way, if that's not a Reggie Cleveland All-Stars name, and just so you know what that is, I forgot who came up with this, whether it was Chappelle or somebody else, or even Jesus and Mero, somebody came up with it, that Reggie Cleveland, white guy, a pitcher, look him up. And whoever coined the term the Reggie Cleveland All-Stars, it's when you hear the name and then you see the guy, you're shocked that it's a white person.
Oh, wow.
When you knew that for this guy Freddie Freeman in the Braves system, they love this guy Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman's coming up, I would have been bet 100% that he doesn't look like he looks.
Is Howie Kendrick the opposite of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Howie, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. Howie Kendrick.
100%. All-star Howie Kendrick,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
All-star
that's true.
Howie
but
Kendrick.
Freddie Freeman is an absolute current Reggie Cleveland All-star. But Freddie Freeman goes over pursuing a foul ball toward the stands, and he knocks over the guy's beer.
Yeah.
The beer spills all over him.
Uh-huh.
Did you see what he did?
He licked the beer
shirt. Trying to suck the beer out of his clothing.
I can't imagine anything. I mean, that's like beer and orange juice level gross. That's like I've just brushed my teeth, so I can't have the red cup at the party yet. I have to wait 20 minutes. Like, that had to taste disgusting.
You brush your teeth before a party?
No, I'm just saying if you had brushed your teeth before a party. You don't. Okay. I understand the disconnect.
Are you morning drinking?
You don't day drink.
Right.
Back in the day, you would go over to the bar. They would fill up the whole parking lot with a bunch of sand. You'd go play sand volleyball for like 2.5 hours. You'd come back, actually shower, and then the red cups would start there. That was a good Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday. But that's how you do that. So that's where you would run into brushing your teeth and then going for a beer.
This is a great text from the 815. It says, wait a second. When you're on the South Side looking for a popsicle, you can find the official that ordered Jesus Christ's death? No. Panchos Paletas.
But you do have to wash your hands after the popsicle.
Not Pontius Pilate. Panchos, as if there's
what is this, lemon lime? I washed my hands of this.
That is a spectacular catch from an 815 texter. That is, I love a good miss here, and that's a graduate level miss here. Well handled. Golf
really
clap
top
for you.
Notch.
That's really good.
Really
hey,
well done.
A reminder, if we're already getting giddy, we haven't even finished an hour of the show yet. This is going to be a five-hour run for us today because we're doing the Bernstein and McKnight Show. And Lawrence is under the weather today, sort of last minute. So we are going to also handle the responsibilities of the Lawrence Holmes Show from noon to 2. And as part of that, at 1 o'clock, we want you to help us out because we want your stories. We're doing Friday Fun, and it's going to be Fails of July.
Or?
Subtitle, Independence Day. Jay Zawoski had tip on that one. And we want your fail stories from 4th of July. It could be anything. It could be the parade. It could be grilling. It could be watching fireworks. Or it could be, you know, blowing off Uncle Ed's face.
Any of those things. Happy to hear from you.
But not the thing that Connor had to get dumped for earlier in the week.
No, not that. Was that this week? Or that
no,
last
that was
week?
Last
I think
week.
That was
it?
Last
I don't
week.
Know. They all blend together.
They really do. I know. Really not even worth keeping track of. Yeah, so give us your fail of July stories, your Independence Day stories. We'll do that at noon during the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Scott from Davenport was talking about our discussion regarding some of the ice cream, and he says, we bought our first house in Elgin in 1991. Our daughter was 2 years old. The ice cream truck came by, and she comes running at me, yelling, ECMO man, daddy.
What?
ECMO man. Maybe Eskimo pie is all I can think.
Yeah,
maybe
okay.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
She said, I didn't want to deal with it, so I told her I didn't have any money. She runs into her room, grabs a couple pennies, and tells me, I have money. Yeah, she won and had a standing date with the ECMO man every time he drove through the neighborhood.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's a great way to win an argument against a little kid. I don't have any money. Whatever it is.
I want to go to college.
No, I don't have any money.
No, no.
Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. You're not playing.
I need health care.
No, I don't have any money.
No, sorry.
It's not working. A little bit of news from the White Sox yesterday and this morning as well. This is from James Fegan, who covers the club, saying that the White Sox are calling up Daniel Palka. Among the roster moves today, of course, Yonder Alonso will reportedly be DFA'd after being traded for this offseason. Alex Call was the guy who went back in return for Yonder Alonso. And then it's probably going to be, I don't know, something like Hector Santiago called up to start the game today against the Twins. And don't worry, Santiago's career slugging percentage against this collection of Twins is like 9,000.
Okay.
So you're fine there. The Twins are just going to keep on being the bomb squad and launching dingers.
This is a great nomination for the Reggie Cleveland All-Stars, too. Reggie Willits, the former outfielder, current Yankees first base coach.
Okay, all right.
He was on the Angels. Reggie Willits. Yeah.
I don't remember Reggie Willits.
I remember the name, and I'm looking at a picture of him, and yes, there is definitely a divergence of thought.
What was it about the middle 2000 Los Angeles Angels where everyone they drafted had to have the white guy, square-jawed Darren Erstad look, apparently?
It was a
and
thing.
Kenny Williams wanted all of them.
Bring me them all.
Yes, are they toolsy and are they toolsy athletes, or are they grindy grinders? Yes, we want all of them as the White Sox, and most of them will fail.
Reggie Willits also went to Oklahoma, too. Yeah, God, they were just drafting the pipeline of these guys.
So Daniel Palka's back.
Daniel Palka is back. There are, you know, listen, I don't know how White Sox fans want to look at Yonder Alonso, or if they even do anymore. Probably not. But you paid $8 million this year for Yonder to try and find. This is the best way I could figure it out. You paid $8 million plus the $1 million option next season to maybe have a shot at Manny Machado coming in. That didn't happen. And to maybe have a shot at trading Jose Abreu and feeling good about it if you wanted to have that on the table after Manny Machado didn't come to you. And now that you've eaten the cost, you're selling or eating a sunk cost on Yonder Alonso to get Zach Collins two games a week, maybe four if you count the DHing and the first base work that he's going to get now that Yonder Alonso is out. Because the two guys have the same kind of pitcher that they need to go hit against. That's what you've done this for. And I just don't know that kind of swing and a miss on a free agent plan is one that makes White Sox fans all that happy. I mean, I know we did this when it happened. I know whether it was John Jay or Yonder Alonso, White Sox fans were really kind of staring into the abyss thinking, boy, couldn't that money have gone just to Manny Machado in the first place to kind of reshape the franchise? But, you know, I mean, from here on out, this is what you've got, and it leads me, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later on in the morning or maybe during the Lawrence Holmes portion of our day, but you know, there are some things the White Sox could do either now or this offseason that don't involve free agents that might kind of bring some of the good feeling back to where it was when Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada and everybody was cooking around the last couple of weeks.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, doing a little bonus coverage for you today. You get the old double album today because Lawrence is a little bit under the weather. We'll be sticking around until 2. We get to do an old transition with our guys McNeil and Parkin, so that'll be fun to revisit that as well. We have Friday Fun coming up at noon also. And next, Mike Francesa, yesterday on WFAN, was watching the Mets' latest meltdown in real time, and it produced 2 minutes of absolute gold. We make fun of him a lot for falling asleep and not knowing who people are and not really watching sports. I mean, but he rediscovered the old, whatever the essence of the sports pope has been. He found it again yesterday, and for what's going on with the Mets, what he says matters in that town, and it's great.
I have not heard this. You've sold it high. We'll see if it pays off. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.